When an idea lives far beyond its birthplace, it transforms into something legendary. Here we call this the Chief's Kingdom, the expanse of those that define the Chief's spirit. Anchored smack dab in the middle of the United States, this kingdom has no earthly boundaries. From its Midwestern roots, it grows. It covers plains and deserts, rolls over seas and mountains, and rushes right into our hearts. It spans generations, races, creeds, until it finally touches the rugged landscape of our hopes and dreams. This kingdom was not built on stone or mortar, no. It was modeled on the stories of sport and valor. And each year, new chapters are etched into this never-ending saga.
20, 15, 10, touchdown!
And although there is one special place called home, wherever you hear the thunder of red and gold, wherever a hero is remembered, or another one born, wherever the will of people give life to the game, welcome, neighbor. You're in the Chief's Kingdom.
Well, when he was little, he was one of those kids that would come to me with these crazy, impossible requests, like, help me build a robot that'll go to the moon. He had this crazy imagination.
I have this calling. It feeds my soul. I love to create imagery, paintings. I like to represent the world around me. There's a huge benefit of being passionate about the subject matter. I know what gets people excited, how to drop people in those little special moments where they can almost predict what's about to happen next. Somebody's about to get hit. Somebody's about to catch the ball. Arrowhead is about to absolutely erupt and turn into a giant sparkler. You know, I'm sort of like a graphic design cheerleader in that sense, I guess. I think that that's part of my calling as an artist, to produce stuff that people like to look at. It was a fascination of that at a really young age that made me become an artist. My mom's name is Virginia, my dad's name is Todd, and they're both from Michigan. They both went to Western Michigan. They studied graphic design up there. They met at a pretty young age. You know, they both had an affinity for design, for art. That eventually ended up taking my dad to Kansas City, where he first got a job with Hallmark.
I started working here in 1985 in the same department as Todd. We were both lettering artists and just developed this crazy love for Hallmark and funny cards and mushy cards and heartfelt cards. It's been a really wonderful connection for me.
I come from an artistic house. And they kind of decided at a really young age that, they didn't want to influence what my brother and I were. They didn't want us to be artists just because they were artists, you know, just because there were paintbrushes laying around the house, that kind of thing. So they kept all that from me. One day, my preschool teacher went to my parents and said, "So, does Chris draw a lot at home?" And we're like, "Well, no, not really. Well, he does a lot here." When I was growing up, it was Chiefs football on Sunday, Derek Thomas, sack fumble. You know, that was it. That's like engraved in my memory. And a lot of those moments I shared with my dad.
Football games for Chris and his dad were an opportunity for them to bond. They both shared that love of football, that love of the Chiefs, and that was kind of their thing, and I just let them go with it. I was just delighted that they could have that.
And look around, Lenny. Nobody is sitting. The entire place is standing up. Back to pass, Kelly. He escapes. He runs. He's sacked by Derek Thomas.
Nobody can do it alone, but together we can do it.
When I was really young, we all kind of went on a family trip together. And my parents brought me out on the back porch and explained to me that my dad had progressive multiple sclerosis. In true progressive fashion, it went downhill, and steadily worse over the next 15 years, really. He went through a period where, probably when I was around middle school age, where he started going to the hospital on a pretty regular basis. So, you know, it kind of became customary, almost. Every time that he would go to the hospital, he would lose something, you know, lose some sort of mobility or, you know, the ability to feed himself or, you know, whatever the case may be. I remember towards the end of his life, we were having him go through rehabilitation just to learn how to re-swallow.
It was a real rip your heart out kind of situation, because I knew that as much as I wanted there to be some miracle, that wasn't going to happen.
One day, my mom called me, and it was just like any other day. You know, Dad's going to the hospital. You get your stuff, and you know, we're rallying the troops. So meet us there. And when I got there, he was in a coma.
He passed away 4 days after Kyle graduated from high school. And everything changed.
It's sort of been a long road uphill ever since. Trying to, you know, get my life back in order, figure out what that looks like without him in it.
I wasn't done raising my kids. They were really hurting. They had spent the last 10 years watching their dad's health deteriorate.
My mom is sort of the bedrock of the family. She's had a long life of, you know, being selfless. I don't think that my dad would have lived as long as he did if my mom had not been that type of person. You know, I got to watch them live and really show what marriage vows really mean in the toughest of circumstances. You know, till death do us part. And,
anybody can kind of hang in there when everything's all good. But really, it's about hanging in there when things are not good. It was easier to go through all of that with Todd than it has been the last 5 years by myself.
I lost every piece of myself that I needed to create the way that I wanted to create, and I couldn't find it. I stayed out of school for about a year and a half. And, you know, I kind of had a couple of jobs. In that time, I was just so unmotivated. I mean, to the core. Like, I just couldn't figure it out.
Todd Simbauer's passing caused a ripple effect, and no one in the family was spared. The wave of grief was so great that even Chris's love for painting was gripped by its undertow.
This was the piece of me that I had had since I was a kid, and I couldn't figure out for the life of me how to get it back. I needed to get back to my roots. I needed to get back to, you know, this. I needed to get back to painting, to using my hands. I needed to choose a subject matter that I was passionate about. That cliche about your world getting turned upside down, you don't realize what that's like until you go through it. And it's not a cliche, it's a reality.
Chief's Kingdom is brought to you by Hy-Vee. Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. And the University of Kansas Hospital, the official healthcare provider of the Chiefs. Still suffering from the loss of his father. Artist
this
Chris
was the
Simbauer,
piece of me that I had
many
had since
who have
I was
faced
a kid,
challenges,
and
found his hopes
I couldn't
and dreams
figure out for
fragments,
the life of me how to get
with
it
no
back.
No clear answer.
I needed
on
to
how
get back to my roots. I needed to get back
gift.
To, you know, this. I needed to get back to painting, to using my hands. I needed to choose a subject matter that I was passionate about.
Chris had lost his passion for his art, so he went to the most likely place to find it. That place, the place in his heart, held for so many years for his beloved Chiefs.
that's always been kind of a running theme in my life, and I never really thought about putting the two together until I started a blog with a friend. What came out of that was sort of these pencil sketches, and that sort of transformed and progressed. Before I knew it, I was doing a weekly painting series.
We first really noticed Chris, I guess it was shortly before the Steelers game in 2009. He was a commenter on our site, and Chris put up this painting that he said was his, and it was incredible. You know, there were a number of people who didn't believe that, you know, this random internet commenter is actually like one of the world's greatest artists.
The entire Posterize series was supposed to be this organic project where, you know, I could get my name out there a little bit, I could showcase some of my talents, you know, and I also found a really cool niche that I was passionate about, that not only was I passionate about it, but I was the only person sort of playing in that playground.
There isn't anybody out there really doing this in the sports industry. This is kind of a new deal. I mean, the only opportunity for this industry to be captured has been through photography. But we can bring something else to the table and capture things in a way that photographers can't. What we bring is totally different, and we want to play too.
You know, I started to get approached by a lot of artists, actually, online, sending me emails on Facebook.
Chiefs fans responded very, very well to his paintings. We're all passionate Chiefs fans here, and to have such incredible artwork made just for you, and it's current, you know, it's something that I think a lot of people miss, is that he makes these things within a week's time.
Tebow tries to cut it back at the 15. Holly chasing, as is Kendrick Lewis. Lewis pulls it down, a fumble. Kansas City's got the ball.
He'll take a play that happened in the game the week before, and he tries to capture that play in a painting.
What if I could recreate this in a way that nobody had seen it before? You know, sort of drop you into another point of view or get you into an angle that you haven't ever been before.
You see that it's a Chiefs player, but it's almost like it's animated. It's got a lot more flavor to it.
They have so much life and spirit. And he really, it's like he's going for the essence of that moment in time. How cool is that? That's the objective.
Basically, on the first Friday of every month, the Crossroads District in downtown Kansas City opens up. There's hundreds of individual galleries down there. I mean, the entire area is this living, breathing art organism. It's kind of funny because you can walk down some of the busy streets during first Fridays in the summer and hear music. You can see sidewalk painting. You can see paintings inside the galleries. You can see performance art. There are so many different types of artists here that literally they fill the cracks. I think it's just the creative energy around here in general. You know, it must be something in the water.
Whenever there was a birthday or Christmas came up, Chris had to have whatever the latest Chiefs gear was. The hat, the coat, the jersey, pajamas, whatever it was. I mean, I was on the big hunt for finding this particular article.
You know, there was a little bit of an obsession growing, I would say. I think at one point I was even living at an apartment complex called Stadium View Apartments, which did actually overlook the stadiums, which I thought was kind of cool. You know, I could wake up and get this nice romantic view of the stadiums, and it's kind of a good way to start the day.
Chris's obsession for his Kansas City Chiefs would also signify the dawn of another day. The day that this hometown kid would be truly united with his hometown team.
About a year ago, I was at home working, and I decided to change the background on my computer. The season was about to start, I was getting excited, so I started to Google Tom Bahali, and up comes this almost superhero-esque picture of Tama, and I was blown away. So I came across this website, chrissembauer.com, and he had this posterized series, and it was literally just like a gift. So the next morning I got into work and I asked my crew, I said, has anybody seen this guy? Has anybody seen what this artist can do? And every one of them answered yes. As a matter of fact, some of the other guys had had Chris's work on their computers. And that's when I knew it was time to reach out to him and email him.
When I first got the email from the Chiefs, saying that they wanted to connect and kind of see where things went, it was, it was probably one of the happiest moments of my life, if I had to be honest. It seemed like all of these different pieces of my life were kind of converging all at once. I don't think that I could be any more blessed that this opportunity is happening.
Opportunity comes in many forms. And for Chris, that opportunity came in the form of a cup. A cup that was certainly half full.
So I had the opportunity to come into the Chiefs' offices and collaborate on a couple of souvenir cups that the fans will get to take home. This is one of the biggest moments of my life. This will actually be the first object that I've ever designed. It will not be a flat piece. There's really only a piece of this that's viewable at one time. So one way that I sort of facilitate that is by creating really strong diagonals all across the composition, which naturally makes you want to spin the cup and look at all of it. This is something that somebody can drink out of. I love that.
Virginia Sembauer understood how the Chiefs and Chris were meant to be. She understood that he needed a stage to showcase his incredible talents. And hearkening back to her own experiences, she understood that this was his moment.
This is something that he's wanted for a really long time. This was Chris's hallmark. This is his hallmark call. I feel really strongly that people's connections with each other are the most important things that they have. When everything else falls away, money and stuff, you can survive without that. You really can't survive without your connections with people. And they need to be as strong as they possibly can.
Everybody's got a dream, of what they want their franchise to be or what, where they want things to go. I can take them to that place.
Chiefs Kingdom is brought to you by Hy-Vee. Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. And the University of Kansas Hospital, the official healthcare provider of the Chiefs. The Chiefs Kingdom is a symphony of moments, images, connections, and each snapshot tells a story and her adventure. Arrowhead Stadium is known as the NFL's loudest venue. Reaching 116 decibels, Arrowhead's deafening din permeates the crowd, rattles the ground, and even shakes imagery from those who are part of its sea of red.
I was at the Thanksgiving game a few years back, and it actually became the inspiration for one of my paintings later, the electric Arrowhead piece. There was this memory that I have of the game that I've never been able to recreate in any environment. I remember that the crowd was so loud, the noise, it actually started to crackle and distort like it was being fed through a bad amp. And I remembered how cool that sounded. It literally gave me goosebumps. When you're at Arrowhead, it's not like watching it on the TV. You can hear that it's loud, but you can't experience it.
Next, on Chiefs Kingdom.
You walk into my house, you think you're walking into a Chiefs museum. You'd have thought I had a career with them. I got cut so many times. I used to joke that I had a gold travel card from Greyhound. But the bottom line is, he told me to my face, he said, son, you are not a football player. But Hank Stram also gave me direction for what was to be my life's work.
Thank you. 65 toss power trap.